Paul Auster is the author of The Book of Illusions, a novel. The book's protagonist is a professor named David Zimmer. After a personal tragedy strikes Zimmer, he discovers the work of a silent film comedian named Hector Mann. Here's Paul Auster reading an excerpt from The Book of Illusions.
Everyone thought he was dead. When my book about his films was published in 1988, Hector Mann had not been heard from in almost 60 years. Except for a handful of historians and old-time movie buffs, few people seemed to know that he had ever existed. Double or Nothing, the last of the 12 two-reel comedies he made at the end of the silent era, was released on November 23, 1928. 2 months later, without saying goodbye to any of his friends or associates, without leaving behind a letter or informing anyone of his plans, he walked out of his rented house on North Orange Drive and was never seen again. His blue DeSoto was parked in the garage. The lease on the property was good for another 3 months. The rent had been paid in full. There was food in the kitchen, whiskey in the liquor cabinet, and not a single article of Hector's clothing was missing from the bedroom drawers. According to the Los Angeles Herald Express of January 18, 1929, it looked as though he had stepped out for a short walk and would be returning at any moment. But he didn't return, and from that point on, it was as if Hector Mann had vanished from the face of the earth.
Paul Auster told Steve Paulson why he wanted to write a novel about a silent film star who has disappeared.
I've always been interested in silent comedy, silent film in general, but particularly comedy. And one day, out of the blue, as it always happens, out of the blue, maybe 12 or 13 years ago, Hector Mann popped into my head. And there he was in his white suit and little black mustache. His name was born with him, Hector Mann. And I didn't know what to do with him.
This was before you had started writing this book.
Oh, way before, way, way before. 10 years before I started writing the book. But all my novels work that way. They gestate for many years before they really are ready to be written. So I walked around with Hector in my head. I think early on, my only ambition, if I had one, was perhaps to cook up the ideas of his silent films and write them down as short stories almost. But as the years went on, things got more complicated, and little by little, he began to intersect with another character, David Zimmer, who's the narrator of the story, and eventually I was ready to begin. But it's so mysterious how a book comes to you and why it comes to you. These are questions I can't even answer.
So the image that you had 12 or 13 years ago, I mean, the physical image of this guy, that's who we read in the book right
yes,
now?
Yes, yes. And I could see the way he moved. Hector has a particularly graceful and balletic way of steering his way around impediments in the world, very nimble-footed. And as an Argentinian, good swivel hips as well. I don't think there's ever been a silent comedian who did exactly what Hector does, but there might have been, there could have been, you know, if the form had lasted longer, I'm sure somebody would have developed who was a bit like Hector.
There's one critic who was writing about your book, and his observation was, your descriptions of these various silent films are so vivid that it's a shame that they don't actually exist.
I know. I feel sorry about it myself. I could see them so vividly in my head. But just because you can see it doesn't mean you can actually put it into words and make the reader see it as well. And those passages really took a lot of effort, I have to say, because it was a question of putting in enough visual detail so that the reader can actually see what was happening. But at the same time, the prose had to move at a certain speed to replicate the feeling of watching a film, which is charging forward at you, you know, 24 frames per second. It doesn't stop and it doesn't go backwards. It's just plunging forward. So too many details, and I think things began to bog down, but too few, and you don't see enough. So it was a matter of striking the right balance.
So I'm curious, why does this whole world of silent films, the comedies in particular, why is it so compelling to you?
Well, it's difficult to say exactly why. First of all, they're really funny. I mean, they remain funny. And I think everyone from the age of about 2 to 90 can recognize that, you know, Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin are funny and they make you laugh. The more interesting question is why? And, you know, I've grappled with this a little bit. I don't have a great answer to give you, but I think there's a phrase that I use in the Book of Illusions. It's human will expressing itself through the human body. So therefore, it's somehow a translation process of, you know, the character's desire, for example, to do something, and then all the obstacles that come in his way and how he manages to conquer or not, you know, his circumstances. It's such the basic stuff of human life, but all told in a kind of metaphorical way that is so low to the ground and so captivating to the eye that I think it's impossible not to like this stuff. And now that these films, I think, are available on better prints than we used to be able to see when we were kids, you see how crisp and sharp mm-hmm. and beautiful they are.
Well, and what's amazing, I mean, I totally agree with you. I love the old, especially the old Buster Keaton films. But the irony, of course, is it's an utterly dead art form.
Yes, I know.
And yet they work so well today.
I just think it's because it's for all time. I mean, people don't paint like Vermeer anymore, but he's for all time also. You know, certain art that takes place at a certain time transcends its time. And I think silent comedy does that. A lot of art just falls by the wayside. We're not interested in it later. But this stuff, it's durable. It's probably eternal.
Now, your book is about illusion. It's about the power of art. And you get this right away. Your main character, David Zimmer, is a professor who's suffered this horrible tragedy. He's lost his wife and two sons. They've died in a plane crash, and he's utterly despondent. He's on the verge of suicide. And then he happens to see a snippet from one of these silent films starring Hector Mann, and he laughs for the first time in ages. And it's, I suppose, the greatest gift that art could offer.
Yeah, I mean to say, if you can laugh, it means you're alive. It means that you have some feeling about a future, you know, a feeling of your place in the world. Tears don't suggest that. Sometimes they can. But laughter always, always signifies a desire to live, I think. Mm-hmm. And he discovers that, in fact, he does want to live, whereas up to that point, he really wasn't sure. And he was passively letting himself go to hell. So on the strength of that laugh, he decides to begin investigating Hector Mann's career, which leads him to cinematheques and film archives around the world. And eventually he writes a little book about Hector's films.
And you're really raising some big philosophical issues about the power of illusion. I mean, the thing that revives this guy who's been so depressed is all artifice.
You mean to say the films?
The films, yeah.
Yes, but I mean, imagine life without art. It's just not even possible to imagine it. Art is what we give to each other as human beings, the gift we give to each other, which tells us the story of ourselves. And without the ability to tell stories and somehow just simply reduce the complex, multifarious, ongoing press of reality into simple lines that we can perceive, I don't think we'd be able to make sense of reality very well. So art does that for us.
Mm-hmm. You call your book The Book of Illusions. So what did you want to get at with this whole notion of illusions?
Well, I suppose there are different kinds of illusions, movies being one of them, probably the most significant one. But illusions are also the real world. I mean, here's a man who's had this family and this life for 10 years, and in one instant, it's wiped away, and it's as if it had all been an illusion. It had never existed. And other things, other losses that occur during the course of the book, particularly towards the end, also are like illusions. Things that he had lived turn out to be almost not real. So I think, in a sense, the book is a kind of echo chamber of stories, you know, bouncing off of one another. And in one way or another, they all have to do with this subject. What is a life? I mean, Hector disappears and he becomes somebody else. So who is he really? You know, is he Hector or is he this other person?
And it's worth pointing out that David Zimmer hears that Hector, in fact, hasn't died. He's around somewhere, and so he spends much of the book chasing after Hector, trying to find him. But all of that becomes very mysterious.
Yes, yes. They do. In the end, he winds up out in New Mexico. We can say that much. He goes from Vermont to New Mexico and meets the very ancient Hector, who's still alive.
Paul Auster is the author of The Book of Illusions, a novel. He spoke with Steve Paulson.